But just we ask that you would tarry a little longer for us, Lord, because we're not ready. We are not ready. Your people aren't ready. We pray, Lord, that our flight would not be on a Sabbath or in the winter.
Yes.
That you tell us to pray that our flight would not be on a Sabbath or in the winter, Lord. And we know you're going to fly us back to Israel, Lord. And I believe that word is literal, flight. If you're going to fly us back to the wilderness, to the desert of Israel, to preserve your people in Revelation 12:14, that you're going to nourish us for 3.5 years, times and a half a time, that you'll nourish us in the wilderness according to your word for times and half a time while you deal judgment with the world. You'll protect your people in the Goshen of the wilderness of Israel, Lord. And it's not Petra. God help you if you believe that. He's not going to send us to Jordan. He's going to send us to the wilderness of Judea, of Israel, or the Sinai. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to say, Amen. In Yeshua's name, Amen. Bind the enemy and bless this service.
Amen.
Okay, what's next? Avinu Malkenu. Oh, Anthony, would you do the servant of the Lord for us, please?
Oh, yeah. Give me just a second. You're going to get to it. Now the Lord says, He who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for he's honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Avinu Malkenu. I'd like to welcome the Chapman sisters on my right. Carolyn and Tammy. They are sisters from another mother.
Yep.
Same father, but another mother. And I'd like to welcome my friend and colleague, Mr. Anthony Cody, to my left, and our Torah teacher par excellence, and we're just grateful to have him, and Miss Carol Green in the back there running the sound so aptly and with excellence,
yes,
with deft and aplomb.
Yes.
She runs the sound in the video. Mm-hmm. She makes it look easy, doesn't she?
Yes.
Let's give her a clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Adonai Melech, Adonai Malach, Adonai Imloch Leolam Vaed, Adonai os liamo yitain. Adonai varech et amo ba shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns.
The Lord has reigned.
The Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength unto his
people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. Please stand as we go back to the Shema. Mm-hmm. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vaed, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol levavcha, V'chol nafshecha, V'chol me'odecha, V'hayu hadivarim ha'ele, Asher nochim etzlecha hayom al levavecha, V'shinata levanecha, V'dibarta bam, V'shivtecha b'veitecha, U'v'lechtecha v'aderech, U'v'shak becha, V'kumecha, U'kisharta mal mezuzot b'veitecha,
U'v'sharecha. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. And have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligent to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontless between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Now we'll do Vayehi ben So'aron. Vayehi ben So'aron, Vayomer Moshe, Kuma Adonai, V'yafutsu oivecha, V'yanusu misanecha, panecha, Ki mitzion teitze Torah, Ki mitzion teitze Torah, Udevar Adonai, Mirushalayim, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah, Yamo Yisrael.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah,
Ku'en Adonai Havorah,
Baruch Adonai Amrach Yilam Ba'ed, Baruch Adonai Amrach Yilam Ba'ed, Baruch Atah Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam, Asher Bachar Bani Mikol Ha'amim, Ne'na'atam Lanu Et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai, Notein HaTorah, Amen.
Bless the Lord, the blessed one. Blesses the Lord, the blessed one for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. And you can be seated. Okay, we're still in the 7 weeks of comfort. And today the verse would be from Isaiah 51. And it's I am he that comforts you. So we've got about 3 more weeks of the 7 weeks of comfort that leads us up to the High Holy Days. And today's Torah portion is from Deuteronomy 16 through 21. And it's called Shoftim, and it means it judges. It also means Shoftim, which means sheriff. That's a new term, sheriff. That's what it means. It means officers. And that's what they were. They were sheriffs. Today we're in the days of Og, heading up to them. You know, and we've been called to get our spiritual house in order for repentance. In Hebrew, it's called teshuva, and that means to turn. It means to turn. When you repent, you have to make a turn to a different way of life. So that's why it means to turn. Since creation, man has sought to find out what's the truth. And I'm sure in school people have asked, what is the truth? What is the truth? Torah is not a tradition. Every word of the Torah is fresh and new each and every day. If you read it, you'll find something new for that day that you maybe hadn't seen or thought about for many years. You see, most people say they don't like the Torah, or they don't like the old scriptures, because they're more tradition. You know, it's just a tradition thing. But really, tradition preserves life, but the Torah is life. So that's the difference in the two. God has given us His Torah. It has provided mankind with the absolute standard of truth. That's why our laws are based upon God's Word. That's where they came from. With the Torah, it provides and gives us objective values, it gives us guidelines, and it gives us principles that we are to apply in all our situations, every place we are at, and wherever our time is we're spending. It is to be provided us with that guideline. If the world would only follow that one simple verse there, the world would be a different place to live if we would follow God's instructions to us. So today Moses is talking about the fact that God asked him to, or he was one of the things he wanted to do. He couldn't control everything going on. There was a lot of squabbling and things with that many people. That's only natural. And he was trying to control everything, but also deal with having to interact with God, which was taking up most of his time, which it should have. But he creates judges. You know, today in Israel, the Sanhedrin still has judges. There's 71. There's an odd number because it removes any type of a tiebreaker. It's the tiebreaker. 71 is the one that makes it a majority. Just like we have in Congress, the vice president can break a tie if in the Senate, if the vote is 50-50, she is the tiebreaker. And so we see today that's what God has placed upon Moses, and he's telling Moses, put judges, shoftims, and put shoftims at all your gates. Placing judges at every gate is a desire to conform to the Torah. That's what God set him to do. Instructions and the things that they're supposed to do. They were to carry out the judgment instructions. It also means we must be judges at our home. That's what God is telling us. And structure according to God's instructions in the Torah. We are to control and judge our home, be the judge of it. God says your body is your gate. This is a personal interaction with the world. Every day you go out into the world, and whether you know it or not, you're interacting some way with the world through internet or whatever, radio, traveling, whatever. We have judges within our bodies. Our personal gates also must have judges. We must be guided by God's Torah to control them. And what are your gates? Here's your gates: your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, even your skin is a gate that can control, you know. And Satan wants to just get a little point made, just a little infinitesimal point made, and that can grow. He just wants to see a little tiny opening. He doesn't overpower you. He starts very, very minute, and that can grow as you let. That's why you don't let your eyes see things you shouldn't see. You don't see things, say things you shouldn't say, and you don't hear things you shouldn't hear. Because you realize they're not, when you're doing those things and they're letting those things come into your body, and they're in your body. They're circling around in your body, in your mind. They're in there. So we are called to submit ourselves. God tells us we're supposed to put ourselves on an altar each and every day for God. And as Yeshua took up the basin and the towel, when he washed the disciples' feet at Passover, they didn't really understand. They thought it was just to clean their feet. But he was telling them a greater lesson in life, that you know every day you have to touch the towel and the basin and the water to clean yourself to go out into this world. So you have to go into this world that is dirty and filthy. So God says, clean yourself, put yourself on the altar, purify yourself, and go out as Yeshua did to the disciples. They thought he was just giving them a bath, but he was really giving them an instruction to go out clean before the world, and people will see your cleanness when you go before God. Acts 17:31 tells us Yeshua is the appointed judge by God to judge the living and the dead. He's going to judge us all. God always balances justice with mercy. And so in his word it says if you were convicted of a crime, you had to have two witnesses that would swear that you committed this crime. And the person who accused you of the crime was the one who had to carry out the sentence. So if it was a death sentence, it was your responsibility as accusing this person that you would be the one that would carry out that person's sentence. So it makes a different strain, different change on sentencing people if we had that going on today. But God said if you're the one that is one that with the two witnesses, then you will have to be the one that will execute that person if it's a death sentence. So we already talked about the 71 judges the Sanhedrin has today. But what were the purpose of the judges? They were to reason together. They had to have a knowledge of the Torah. They had to be very intelligent in order to know how to take someone's word and how to judge that person and how to decide what was going on. They were not to destroy the justice, nor were they the ones that were supposed to show favoritism. They had to be without any favor toward anybody when they were judging them. You know, and one of the things, and you know, God tells us also not to make standing stones, not to make any type of monuments that we have in the world today. You see, with God, we all are like a tree, and what God's word said, it says, don't plant trees near the altar, because the tree is really an analogy of a person. It's like a man with the Torah. And you lift your arms up, and that's like a tree. And you're rooted into the Torah, just like the tree growing by the riverside is rooted into the earth of the land. That's like what we are to be. We are to be like a man that lifts up our hands toward God and to the Torah. And we are rooted in the same thing, like a tree of God. But he says, do not make statutes. Just to close this morning, you know, the largest idol statue in the United States is in the harbor in New York City, and it's the Statue of Liberty. That is a pagan god, and the name was, let me see here, I wrote it down here because I couldn't remember it, Labaterus. And that was that's a Roman god of fertility, of sexual immorality, idolatry. It was a god that opened, it was a god that stood for freedom. And that's what the United States, you know, we say we open our gates to those that are exiled. And what was interesting, with the Statue of Liberty, that's what it meant to be in idol worship, meant to be an exile. They called them exiles. And that's what we say here. We let, bring me your masses. That's your exiles from your countries into the United States. And so the face of the Statue of Liberty is the man that created the statue in 1886, Federico Barholdi, I think was his name. And that the face on the Statue of Liberty is his mother. He used her to make the face of the Statue of Liberty. And so we see today that, and God says, don't make any statues. He says, rather make an altar. And so that's what God has called us today, is to make an altar, not only in our life, but in our homes, in our jobs, wherever we work. God tells us to make an altar. Shabbat Shalom.
You're welcome. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. I'm Rabbi Joe, and this is For Zion's Sake Ministries, and I want to welcome you to our service today, folks watching online. let us know. Send us an email or drop us a something on Facebook, or For Zion's Sake Ministries on Facebook, and our Yehuda Messianic Congregation. Send us a message. Tell us you're watching. Let us know where you are so we can greet you and welcome you. I know we have our friends Buzz and Linda watch us frequently, if not every week. And I'm going to pray for them down in Myrtle Beach, Polly's Island. And I want to pray also for who else did I forget to pray for today? Diane. And so I want to lift them up to you. So, Lord, we just lift up Buzz and Linda, and we pray, Lord, for healing in their family, spiritual healing, mental healing, emotional, not mental, but emotional healing in the family. We pray for Linda's daughter, who just had a mastectomy. Mm-hmm. We pray, Lord, that the cancer is removed and it doesn't spread, that it doesn't go into the lymph nodes or any other part of her body or her chest. We pray, Lord, that it was totally removed. We ask thee, Lord, and we give you thanks for your healing for I believe it's Anna, and we just pray for her, Lord. Pray for Linda, her mother, for comfort, Lord, and you know we pray that you give her peace, Lord. Her children are grown, in their 40s and 50s, 40s, maybe late 30s. Give her rest, Lord. May her kids be a blessing to her,
yes,
and not a source of anguish and distress. May they bless her, Lord, because I know she loved them and raised them with love and gave them everything that she could possibly give on this earth, and in materially she gave them everything, and they had every opportunity, Lord. So bless Linda, and give her, as she enters her in her golden years, may her children be a blessing to her. Pray for Buzz, Lord, that you give him shalom in his mind and in his heart. Give Buzz shalom and peace, and give him health, Lord. Heal anything in his life and his body that needs healing, Lord, whether it be emotionally or physically. We pray for Diane today, Lord. I believe she's probably listening to us. Hi, Diane. And we just pray for her, Lord, that you would give her the desire of her heart to have Saturdays off so she can come and worship with us, Lord. Give her favor with her new boss to get Saturdays off, Lord. I know that a postal worker recently fought to go to church on Sunday, and they won the case. And I believe she could, if she looks that up, she might be able to use that as legal precedent for yes. her to have the Sabbath yes. off yes. and not to work on Shabbat, Lord. Postal worker recently won a case against the U.S. Postal Service so they could go to church on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
Lord. So we just pray, with that precedent set, Diane can use that. So anyway, we just pray that she's able to get free. I want to welcome everybody who's here. God bless you all. We're all family today. And it is a holiday weekend, and I'm sure some of our folks are out partying and having barbecues with family and cookouts and celebrating. We look forward to seeing them back soon. And the fall feasts are coming up. Rosh Hashanah is September 25th. If you don't have a schedule, they're right on the white table behind you. Our schedules for the feasts. If anybody doesn't have a schedule of the fall feasts, they're right back there. Just grab yourself one. The first one is September 25th, Rosh Hashanah. It says that it says I'm traveling to Florida for back treatment, but actually I traveled back from back treatment. I traveled back from treatment. And I had a procedure on my back, an ablation, where they burned 6 nerves in my back last Monday to help me with back pain. And said it takes about 30 days to kick in. What it did kick in was atrial fibrillation and high blood pressure. But thank God that seems to be last night. Yesterday I had a good day. And the AFib seems to have, yes, thank God, has not been bothering me at all lately, last couple of days. And the heart and the blood pressure has improved quite a bit. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yes.
And hallelujah. Let's see. I don't know. Project Make Room, help after the service. I don't know what Don has to do, or what does anybody know what needs to be done for Project Make Room? What needs to be done, Carol? Equipment in the fellowship hall that needs to be cleaned. Okay, so there's like the, you mean the vacuums in the kitchen, the stuff by the kitchen door. Just needs to be cleaned off. So would somebody be willing to come during the week, this week, doesn't have to be today, and clean off the things by the door in the kitchen that need cleaning? Would anybody be willing to come and do that? All right. Well, then maybe today at Oneg, folks could just wipe it down. It's really just a matter of wiping off stuff with you know, Lysol cloths and things like that. So maybe we could just do it today during, as we're cleaning up for Oneg. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
I don't think it's a lot of stuff.
Right.
Just take a few minutes. Okay. All right. pouring out of oils. I think we'll wait for Revitson to come back, and we'll do that. Now let's pray for Revitson. Lord, we just lift up Dawn. We pray for her success in flying. Pray that she passes her exams and that she doesn't stress. Lord, we pray that she just gets ready to fly passengers and gets her tests, and when she comes home, and that by the end of September that she's flying passengers on that 737. Her training was delayed because of some of you don't know this, but the airlines have, there's been many flight delays, and it's not because of too many flights, it's because of not enough pilots.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough pilots, not enough workers, not enough maintenance people. The airlines laid off so many people, they didn't prepare for post-COVID, for this boom of travel. They didn't really prepare for it. They went and fired people with the COVID mandates who didn't get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got stuck with not enough pilots. They gave early retirement to thousands and thousands of pilots. All the airlines gave early retirement, got rid of all these pilots. And now they're training, they're hiring. I heard one airline yesterday hiring 120 people a day. 120 people a day, or a week, 120 a week. That's a week. That's about what Don's airline is doing, hiring about 100 people a week. They're hiring like crazy. But here's the problem. Don got behind 400 people because there's not enough training pilots. There's special pilots. They're called check airmen, and they train the pilots and they check them off to be able to fly the plane.
Yes.
First, they get checked off to fly the plane. Second, they get checked off to fly passengers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dawn got to the point where she was checked off to fly the plane, but when they got to the, she got, they didn't have a an instructor to take her to, with passengers, so she didn't get. She has had to wait over almost 5 months. to get an instructor to go with her, and now she lost her currency, so now she has to go back and get current in the simulator and do landings and takeoffs, and then she has to test and retest, and then she'll finally, in a couple weeks, she'll fly passengers around the 16th or so. She'll start to fly passengers. So bless her, Lord, we just thank you for our Rebbetzin, that you help her finish her training so she can start, get her settled in her base, in her new base, Lord. And we just thank you that she's been home for so long with us. She's it's just been great to have her with us. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. All right. So planning meetings, it says, to be announced. We've already had a feast planning meeting. So I'm just going to give you my weekly update on the economy. Stock market has continued to tank this past week. It appears that the market is going down, dropping to the lows of June. Maybe it's very possible. Looks like we're heading into a recession. I'm not an expert, but I've been following it a little bit, and that's about 9 out of 10 experts say we're heading into a recession. And just look at your 401k if you don't believe me. So the three major indexes are down substantially in the last week, 10 days. And just a word. So inflation is not really down. It's not down at all. The only thing that's down is gas prices have been down. And that could change with any crisis. Big storm could raise the price of gas by $1, $2 easily if the refineries get hit by a hurricane. So we're in high alert with China. I don't know if you know this, but we've been playing war, you know, chicken with China, taking our ships through the Taiwan Straits, egging them on, Chinese. We've denied them we have companies that make the best computer chips, semiconductors in the world, the most advanced. We've banned them from China. They can't have them. It's because we don't want them to use them in their jets and their ships and things and their weapons. And so we've banned companies from selling to China. These advanced semiconductors. So we're in a very precarious situation. We're still, Russia is very tense. Yes. And the world is a very dangerous place right now. And yes. And the guy in the Oval Office has called people who supported his opponent, he's called them fascists. Uh-huh. So that's how lovely things are going right now. And 20 FBI agents came out and whistleblowers and called for the resignation of the director of the FBI this week. So things are very tenuous and delicate in the United States. The world is heading into recession. Europe is in recession, and it's not even an if. It's an is.
Yes.
And they are desperate. They are. It's a question of food or fuel. The price of energy in Europe is so high. Most people, the average person, we'll have to make a choice between eating or heating this winter. And may God give us provision so that we can heat and eat, though we don't deserve it any more than anybody else. That would include hot water. thank you, Lord. So we're having Oneg today after that lovely encouraging words from the rabbi. But know that God is with us.
Amen.
And God is for us, and he's not against us. God knows the plans he has for us, plans to give us a hope and a future,
yes,
plans to prosper us and not to harm us.
Amen.
And so even while Jerusalem was being sacked, Jeremiah the prophet was taken under the care of the captain of the Babylonians and protected and preserved and set free and given anything he wanted. And so God takes care of those who are his, and we know that he'll take care of us.
Amen.
So yes, trust in the Lord with all your Proverbs 3:6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So don't look at the world. Don't look at the world. Look at the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord, and you'll get through whatever's coming to the world. But amen. So be encouraged. God won't let you down.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. All right. Let's. We have Oneg today. Who brought one egg? Carol did. So we have one egg, and now we have Oneg today. So we have lunch. Will be served. Isaac, did you bring the hot dog rolls? Did you bring the coffee cake? Awesome. Did you put the coleslaw on the fridge? Okay. That'd be great. Thank you. And let's see. What else? Is there anything else? We've already prayed. Anybody else have any announcements? All right. we are going to... we are going to take up our offerings and our tithes and offerings at this time. So let's pray. And folks online, if you are blessed by this ministry, today's message is Grafted In, Gentiles and Messianic Judaism, Part 2. I'll be explaining Gentiles and Messianic Judaism. And if you're not Jewish by birth, I'll show you in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I will show you where, you know, how God speaks of you in the Bible. Hallelujah. So that's today's message. Stay with us. But we're going to take up our tithes and offerings. If you're blessed by this ministry, please donate, even if it's, you know, $20. We appreciate your support. If you're watching us online and mm-hmm. you're ministered to, please contribute and help us fund this ministry. Let's see. Last thing I want to say, we have the new shed is out there. Some of you have probably just seen it. It's going to be a great storage place for us. And store a lot of chairs and boxes, and it has a workbench in there. Also, I went to Best Buy, and I noticed they have cameras that are like battery operated. They have lights and a camera, even a microphone, for about $139 a piece. Two lights, like emergency, you know, like motion sensitive lights.
Mm-hmm.
And they have cameras so that, you know, somebody lit off a skyrocket on our roof, which could have caused a fire, but didn't. So, you know, we can put one of those cameras out front. We just need, you know, Nat said he would install it. I asked him. He said he would install it for us. Mm-hmm. And he also said he would install cameras and lights in the backyard for us. I just have to get them. But we need finances to do it. We don't have the money right now. People haven't been tithing. Those who have been tithing, thank you. But there are many people, several people, who have not been tithing. And it really hurts the ministry when people don't tithe. And God bless you if you do. But the ones, people who don't tithe just because they don't come, it hurts. It doesn't hurt me. It hurts the ministry, and it helps stops us from being able to do the things that we want. You know, we've got a brand new refrigerator, we got a brand new stove, we got a brand new water heater, we got a brand new we got a freezer, a deep freezer. We've got a beautiful new shed that we got. The Lord gave us 50% off, but that's a $3,000 shed. It still cost us $1,570 or $1,600 to bring it in, have it dropped off and leveled. So, you know, thank you to all who tithe, but we need folks who aren't tithing, who do tithe here, to please please consider giving when you're not here. It's critical, and we are under budget. We tend to be regularly under budget, so we really need that support. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't true. So please pray for God's provision. I know things are tough out there, and you know, I understand that a lot of people are struggling. But I want you to know one last thing. There's minister. I was listening to a guy, and I know personally. A year ago, his ministry was bringing in $8 million. And he's a guy on TV, and he's on the radio, and they're asking for money from people, and people are supporting these people on TV and the radio who are making millions and millions of dollars. I know another guy who's on TV out west, Jewish ministry, the largest messianic ministry in the world. It's one man on TV, and his ministry does between 40 and 50 million a year. 40 and 50 million dollars for one man's TV ministry. The MJAA doesn't do more than 8 to 10 million a year. The whole MJAA doesn't bring in more than 8 to 10 million. But one man, I don't even think the MJAA brings in 8 million. What's my point is these people on the radio that you hear, these big names, I'm not going to name names, but these big preachers, they are making millions of dollars. It's the little ministries that aren't broadcasting on TV that need your support. Those big guys, they don't need your money. I'm telling you, they're raking it in, and they're living like kings. Some of them fly jets. They have private jets, and you guys, not you personally, but people out there, maybe some of you, but you're bankrolling their lifestyle. They live in palaces. They fly jets. Well, you and I struggle to make ends meet. And that's the truth, and you should know it. And if you want to look up your ministry before you support it, go to ECFA, Evangelical Council of Financial Accountability. You've seen those stickers on ministries, ECFA. Go to the website. You'll see how much money those ministries take in, and you'll see exactly what they bring in. And millions and millions of dollars. Millions and millions. So anyway, let's pray and receive with thanksgiving what God has for us. God, we give you thanks and praise for the offering today. Let not the people be deceived by these super wealthy ministries that are taking from them, taking their hard-earned money, when they don't even need it, Lord. And, you know, just because they have the power of the microphone on the radio or on TV, and they're just, you know, living in luxury, and the Bible says we should be modest. The Bible says we should not live better than the people that we minister to, but they do. And, Lord, they live like kings. And they fly around in private jets, and and I've seen it firsthand. Lord, we just thank you for blessing the congregations around the country that are not broadcasting, that don't have huge ministries, and that are struggling to make ends meet. We thank you for your provision for us, Lord, for this ministry. Lord, just ask that you would bless this offering, bless the giver, and bless the gift a hundredfold. And we also don't remember, if you have spare change, to give alms for the poor. And if you feel so led or inclined to donate to the building fund back there, may God bless you as you give in Yeshua's name. May he bless you a hundredfold. Remember, the Roman centurion didn't build in Jerusalem. He built out in the sticks in a little hick town called Capernaum. He built the synagogue, and God went to bless him and run to his house to heal his servant. But if he'd built it in Jerusalem, in the big city, the Lord wouldn't have blessed him. So sometimes it pays to give to the smaller ministries more than it does to give to the bigger ones. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom. Thank you.
Shabbat
Is there a song?
Yes, lots of them.
Are we doing a song? What song are we doing?
Joy, you have shown mercy to me.
make a joyful noise, everybody. Put your hands together.
Hallelujah.
God says we are to be joyful in His house. He says we're to clap our hands. He says we are to enthrone Him on the praises that we give to Him. Amen. Oh, make the joyful noise,
all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Clap your hands. Come into His presence.
Because He is faithful, call on the Lord. Because because he is faithful. All alone must dance because he is faithful. All alone must dance because he is faithful. In worship and in praise, all our ways may your name be blessed. Book of our lives, through Yenu, all that we have is from in worship and in praise. In all our ways, may your name be blessed. Rock of our lives, Tertoyenu, all that we have is from you. Shield of our salvation,
yeah.
Kadosh, Kadosh, Adonai Tzivaot. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
The whole earth is filled with his glory.
Like the waters.
Thank you, Lord. We just worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We worship you today, Lord.
Glory, majesty.
Yes, Lord.
Dominion and power.
Thank you, Abba. We're going to go to the Lord's table, Shulchan Adonai. We're going to take communion, and we invite you, if you're watching at home, to join us. If you have some matzah or crackers and some fruit of the vine, some grape juice or manischewitz, you can be seated if you like. get yourself some fruit of the vine and some matzah. And prepare yourself to take communion with us. Christians call it communion. We call it the Shulchan Adonai, the Lord's table. Whatever you call it, just don't call it late for supper. Hallelujah. Praise God. No, seriously, get yourself ready, and I'm going to go down and bless. And Deborah, would you care to serve today? All right. Praise God. And Tammy, would you serve with Deborah? All right.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaac, if you'd get the cameras ready for the sermon. Oops. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Hallelujah. On the night he was betrayed, it was Passover, Luke 22 tells us, and Yeshua was having Passover supper with his disciples, which would have consisted of roast lamb, bitter herbs, and matzah, among other things that they probably served. And dipped, they sopped together with it's we see that Yeshua sopped with Judas. Who knows? It might have been hummus that they were having. They might have had eggs in the salt water, or you know, Yeshua. The Seder they were doing then was not very different. One thing Jews are good at is keeping things the same. So.
Amen.
Yeshua took the third cup of Passover, and he said, "This cup." He did something a little new. He broke tradition, which is unusual for Jews. Yeshua broke tradition when he took the third cup, a cup of redemption, or as we Jews call it, the cup taken after the meal, Luke 22, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sin." And then Yeshua took the bread, the matzah, the afikomen actually, the broken pieces of afikomen, and he said, he blessed it, and he said, "This is my body," and he didn't mean literally, he meant, "This is what I'm going to do for you later today. My body's going to be broken and crushed and for you, for your sins, for your sickness, for your disease. I'm going to take it all upon myself for your healing," and so forth. And so he distributed the little pieces of the bread of the afikomen to be taken together with the third cup. And we invite all believers in Yeshua to join us. If you're watching today and you don't know, you'd like to meet Yeshua, you don't know him personally, we invite you. He wants to be your Messiah and for you to be his person. All you have to do is say yes. So just pray with me. Let's bow our heads. The Bible says that Yeshua is the Son of God, that he came to die for your sins and mine, that he was buried 3 days and three nights, that he rose from the dead on the third day. And if you'd like to make him your Savior, if you'd like to invite him into your life, just pray this prayer with me now. Bow your heads and your hearts, and let's pray. Just say what I say. It's not the words as much as what's in your heart. Just say, "Follow me. Dear God, I confess I have broken your laws. I have not kept your commandments, your instructions, your statutes, and your ordinances. Forgive me, God, because that the Bible calls that sin. I need you, Lord, in my life. I feel separated from you, and I want to be close to you. Come into my heart, Yeshua. Wash me from my sins and my shame, and give me make me a new creation.
Make me a new creation.
Right now.
Right now.
Right here.
Right here.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
Put my name in your book of life.
Yes.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever.
In Yeshua's name.
In Yeshua's
name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, if you prayed that prayer and you received the Lord today, please let me know. I have a gift for you. Just email us or call us, and we'll be in touch with you. God bless you, and let's prepare to come to the table. I always say to confess your sins. If you have any sin to confess before you come, it's a good time to do business with God. So if you have sin to confess before you come to the Lord's table, this is a good time right now before you come. And I'm going to hand it over to the ladies, to Deborah and Tammy, and they're going to serve you. May God bless you as you come.
Above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
know ye the Lord, he
Sometimes I get a little excited back there. Praise the Lord. I get excited too. Yeah. Hallelujah. Just want to keep worshiping, right?
Amen.
Amen. It's good worship today, wasn't it?
Yes.
Just, I love those songs. Draw Me, Lord, and Lord God of Israel. There's no God like thee in the heavens, O Lord God of Israel. There's no God like thee in the earth, who keepeth covenant through all generations, who showeth mercy. Walks before thee with all of thy heart. Amen. Hallelujah. L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua. Somebody grab my chair, please. Thank you, Eric. I want to welcome Nicholas back. Let's give a round of applause for Nicholas. Thank you. Amen. How's your health, Nicholas? In general, scale 1 to 10, 10 being the best. Zero, 12, 62. Oh, we're glad you're here.
Amen.
I'll let you know when to start. Just hang on with me, Isaac. Today's message is going to be, I was debating whether to teach on the Sabbath, but I'm going to teach, I'm going to complete a message I started a couple weeks ago called Grafted In, Gentiles and Messianic Judaism. And I'm going to talk about that. We do have a new newsletter out called The Water Has Broken, The Seals of Revelation, which I'll mention when we go on Facebook, actually. And praise God. So, praise the Lord. So, we let's pray for the message. And I just want to, I'm grateful to have my son Isaac here today and helping. He's a blessing. Let's give it up for Isaac. Isaac has been a blessing. You know, he came home about a month ago. He college finished, and he stayed there in his apartment for a while longer after this year ended. Then he moved in with us, and now he's got a new place, got a place of his own that he's getting ready. We bought a little. Can I tell them? we me, Don, and Isaac bought a little house together, and Isaac's going to live there, and he's going to rent out some the main unit, which is a nice one bedroom. If anybody knows a good tenant that's looking for a nice large one bedroom, see Isaac. He's got one. And he'll be living downstairs with his buddy from college, his roommate. They'll be living in the two-bedroom unit in the basement. And Isaac's doing a great job painting and getting it ready and just learning how to take care of the place. And so we thought this would be a good learning experience and also help him on his way to building credit and building equity at a young age, and so to invest. So praise the Lord. And he's doing a great job. He's really keeping up with it. And so pray for him. It's he's conducting business, he's going to school, and he's working. And got a lot on his plate, so pray that he handles it, that he does well. And so today's message is the grafted in Gentiles and Messianic Judaism. So we can start. Let me pray, and then we'll start the cameras. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. I just thank you, Lord, that you anoint me and empty me of Joe, that you would forgive my sins and anything that needs forgiving, Lord, that you would forgive and make me a vessel of your word and your message. I pray that you bind the enemy, Lord, and that you would anoint our ears to hear what you have to say, and speak to us by your Spirit, Lord. Speak to each one of us here in this room by your Spirit today. Let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds, not by my words, but by your Spirit, Lord. Sometimes, many times I listen to a sermon and you speak to me, and it may not have anything to do with the sermon, but you just start talking to me. And I pray that you would speak to each person here as they listen, and that you would talk to them and tell them what you have on your heart for them, Lord. And speak to the people watching on Facebook. Bless our friends on Facebook today. Bring many watchers, viewers to hear this message. And bless the folks watching online in Yeshua's name. And Isaac, you can turn that on. I don't know if one camera, this one facing me, is tilted. You just check it yourself. But you can start them up, and I'll welcome people. Tell me when it started. Is it started? All right. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome, Facebook friends. I'm Rabbi Joe, and this is For Zion's Sake Ministries, and it's great to be with you today. As I say, some people wonder, with all the health issues that I go through, how can I come preach on Shabbat? It's the anointing. God gives me the strength to do it, and it's the anointing of the Lord that gives me a strong voice. But it has been a tough week with, thank you, many of you, for prayers. That the issues, those who follow me personally know what I've been going through with health issues, and I thank you for your prayers. God bless you. We have a new newsletter out. If you're not on our mailing list, it's called The Water Has Broken, The Seals of Revelation. So if you're into the apocalypse and Revelation, this is a great introductory message on the beginning of the end times, the beginning of judgment, the beginning of the breaking of the seals, and how God relates it to the birth process. And he uses birth language, travail, birth pangs. He uses that kind of language when he talks about the end times. And so I discuss that in those terms. So if you're interested, you can sign up at our website for the newsletter. The water has broken the seals of Revelation. So you can get it. You can actually go to the website. You can read it there online, or you can even print it off on your printer. And you can print as many as you want free. You don't need my permission. It's free to. God says freely, you have received, freely give. So you're welcome to copy them and share them if you like. And if people ask how to get them, they just tell them just go to the website. If you want to get it in the mail and hard copy, let us know. If you like to get it by email, just sign up at the website and you'll get it by email. I don't send out more than two emails in a month, if that. Sometimes it's one email a month. We're not going to deluge you with a rainstorm of emails and appeals. That's not how we operate. I just send out a teaching every so often, usually every one teaching every month or two. So please sign up and share it with your friends if you're blessed. Today's message is grafted in Gentiles in the Messianic Jewish movement, part two. I did the first part of this message a few weeks ago, and now I'm going to finish it today. Now, some of you are familiar with some things I'm going to teach today, and some of you haven't heard it, and some of you online have never heard what I'm going to teach today. So if you've heard it, praise God, maybe you'll hear something new. If you haven't heard it, I know you're going to hear something new. our fall feast schedule is out. It should be on the website, but our Rosh Hashanah service is on September. If you get our newsletter, you'll find out when our fall feasts are. Services is Sunday, September 25th at 6 p.m. is Rosh Hashanah. Sunday, September 25th at 6 p.m., followed by Oneg. Yom Kippur, our community Yom Kippur service, will be Tuesday, October 4th at 7 p.m. will be our Kol Nidre, and fasting begins Tuesday, October 4th at 7 p.m. And then Wednesday, October 5th at 7 p.m. will be our Nila service, and we'll break the fast. After that service, it'll be a brief service, should be over by 8 o'clock or so, 8:15, and then we'll go have dinner and break the fast. And then Sukkot service is Sunday, October 9th at 5 p.m. We'll have a campfire following, but these are community services. If you want to learn about the Feasts of Israel, come and join us. We don't bite, we just nibble. Praise the Lord. Come and see us and sign up for our newsletter. Go to our website. You'll see this information, and that's how you can follow along with us, okay? For my friends who are here, please bring your Bibles, because I do a lot of, I touch on the Word of God quite a bit. We do read a lot of Scripture. One thing about this ministry, we back it up with the Scripture, amen? We're not one of those ministries that talks and teaches without backing it up. I like to back up everything I say with the Word. And let's open today in Isaiah 66, 23. It's kind of an odd Scripture to open up about being grafted in as a Gentile, but maybe not. Maybe it's not an odd Scripture. But it's really, I'm going to start with a question today. Isaiah 66, 23. And the question is, let's read the verse. It says, and it shall be from new moon to new moon. And those of you who have biblical calendars, by the way, we'll be getting our biblical calendars soon, our new calendars. These calendars will go through the fall feasts. We still have some from last year, our art calendars from Israel. But if you would like to get a new calendar, we'll be getting them soon. I don't know if Don ordered them yet, but we're going to order them, and we'll have new calendars for the coming year. But as you can see, today is the 3rd of September, and the new moon is the Feast of Trumpets on the 25th of September, which is the first day of the month of Tishrei. Is the first day of the month of Tishrei, the 7th month, is also the new moon. So when it says from Sabbath to Sabbath and new moon to new moon, and the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah, also known as Rosh Hashanah, on the 25th of this month, is also a Sabbath. So if you were to read Leviticus 23, you would see that God's Sabbaths are not just the weekly Sabbath, which begins Friday night, and the weekly Sabbath ends on Saturday night. Now, some of you have been taught that Sunday is Sabbath, but it's not. And the way I can tell you that in the New Testament is read Matthew 28. Matthew 28 tells you that on the morrow after the Sabbath, well, first of all, what day was the resurrection? What day does the church celebrate Easter Sunday? Easter Sunday, right? Why do they celebrate Easter Sunday on a Sunday? Because he did what on Sunday? He rose. And Matthew 28 says, on the morrow after the Sabbath, the women went to the tomb, and that was Sunday, the first day. It says, even there in Matthew 28, 1, it says it was the first day of the week. So Sunday is the first day of the week. This isn't my words. This is God's words. Sunday is the first day of the week, and that's the day the women went to the empty tomb, and that was the day of the resurrection. Amen? So even though we Messianic Jews don't celebrate Easter, we agree with Christians that we celebrate the resurrection. We agree that the resurrection was Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Hallelujah. Remember those commercials? It drives you nuts. But anyway, he rose from the dead on Sunday, the first day of the week. And even in Israel, Yom Echad, the first day one, is Sunday. Shabbat is Saturday, and it begins Friday night, is the 7th day. The day of rest has always been Saturday. It's always been Shabbat, always began Friday night and ended on Saturday evening. And that's the 7th day. Man can't change it. Man can say it. They can call it the Sabbath, but you can't change Mother's Day. You can't change Veterans Day. You can't change Christmas. And you can't change the Sabbath. It's just simple as that. Amen? All right, so let's go on. So it says here in Isaiah 66, 23, it says, and it shall be from new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, that means from feasts and from the weekly Sabbath, each week, all mankind, how much, or all flesh, will come to bow down before me, says the Lord. In other words, will come to worship before me. All flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. How much flesh? It's not too hard. How much? All flesh. All mankind. All human beings. All people will come and worship. Now, who wrote this? Isaiah. Isaiah wrote it. He lived 700 years before the coming of the Messiah. He lived 700 years before the birth of the Messiah. And here he is saying, there's a day coming. Everybody say, there's a day coming. There's a day coming, and now is, when all flesh will come before me and on the Sabbath and worship me on my Sabbaths and my feasts and my new moons. Rosh Hashanah is a new moon. Just read your calendar. By the way, all the first day of every month is a new moon, and several feasts start on the new moon. So God is saying the reason he includes new moon and Sabbaths is because he's including his feasts in there. And if you don't believe me, just think for a second, Acts chapter 2. What was going on? It was a feast of Moses called Shavuot. Gentiles call it Pentecost. There were Jews from Cyrene, from Libya, from Rome, from Pergia and Pamphylia, Macedonia, and there were proselytes and Arabs, Gentiles, who were there as well. Why were there Gentiles and proselytes? Because some of them read that verse I just told you in Isaiah 66, 23, and they were at the temple worshiping the God of Israel because God's word said they would be doing that. And Acts 2 is an example in the New Testament of it. It's already happening. Say, it's already happening. Not only is it happening, you celebrate the feast. If you're in this room, most of you, if not all of you, but they were doing it 2,000 years ago. How amazing is that? They were doing it 2,000 years ago at Pentecost. In 33 AD or whatever, 33 AD, give or take, when Yeshua died, when Jesus died, they were celebrating Pentecost, and there were Gentiles there. They were already fulfilling this prophecy 2,000 years ago. How much more should we be fulfilling it now? If they were doing this, many of you have been to my Passovers. My Passovers, you've been, I know Deborah, you've been to many and danced. We've seen hundreds of people come, right? 300, 400 people sometimes. Rooms full of people, and you've danced with banners and pageantry. And it's been beautiful, wonderful nights we've had. Amen? Great times. Maybe we'll do them again. We did scores, I mean, probably hundreds of Passover banquets that we put on, that we did for other ministries, that we did them for them, that I taught, our dancers danced for them, whatever, you know. And what's my point? My point is that it's already happening. It started 2,000 years ago, and Gentiles are coming to Messianic feasts all the time. They hundreds by the thousands all over the world. And then not only that, they go to Israel. I don't know if you've ever been to Israel at feast time, you can't move. You can't get a hotel room when it's not COVID. Like now, you could go to Israel and you wouldn't be able, this Passover, you go to Israel, the hotel rooms will be through the roof. Plane tickets will be through the roof. And every hotel room, banquet hall will be filled with Jew and non-Jew alike celebrating Passover and Shavuot. They'll go for Shavuot and they'll go for Sukkot in the fall, the Feast of Booths. The Christians come from the nations and have been coming for decades. They've been coming up to Israel. I've seen them there. And they come by the thousands. And the buses are everywhere and the lines to get into places. I don't actually like to go to Israel at that time because you can't get in anywhere. You have to wait in line for everything, including the bathroom. And let me tell you, I don't like to wait for the bathroom. Amen? grafted in, Gentiles and Messianic Judaism, Isaiah the prophet said, and it shall be from new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all mankind will come to bow down before me, says the Lord. Well, if Isaiah said it, and it happened in Acts chapter 2, and it's happening now, I've often said Messianic Judaism or the feasts are for Christians, they're a get-to, not a have-to. But what if they are a have-to? What if I'm wrong by my saying, when I say it's a get-to, not a have to. But God says everybody's going to do it. What if I'm wrong in saying you get to do this? it's not a have to do this. What if God says he's saying everybody's going to do it? Well, that sounds like a have to, doesn't it? If everybody has to is going to do it. Then they shall go forth and look on the corpses of the men who have transgressed, who have sinned against me, the ones who didn't go. For their worm shall not die, and their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all mankind. Oh, there you go. It gives credence to my theory that it's a have to. Would you agree with that, Dave? It's the word of God. That's what I'm saying. So I've always said, and I'm correcting myself, I've said it's a get to, maybe it is a have to. And maybe those people out there that aren't celebrating God's feast, and that includes this day, the Sabbath, maybe you're not right with God. Maybe it's fine to worship on Sunday, no problem. Go, you know, I have no problem. I'm not telling you to leave your church, but and also this isn't my word. Read Isaiah 66, 23 and 24. Do you want to be one of those people in 23, or do you want to be in one of the ones in verse 24 who says, then they shall go forth and look on the corpses of the men who have transgressed, who didn't keep my Sabbath, for their worm shall not die, and their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all mankind. What's that?
Hallelujah.
So I would rather be in verse 23, I want to be in that number. Amen. This is not my word. This is God. Now, I have taught for years for Christians that you get to do this. You don't have to do this. But maybe God's saying, and it kind of struck me, that's why I'm teaching this, that it's a have to. You know, that he expects Christians. And not only does he expect Christians to keep Sabbath, like we're the only place in town where you can do it, with a Jew leading it, in Jesus, God sent me here. I know, and I've said this before, may lightning strike me down and hellfire and brimstone land on my head if I'm not the Jew that God sent here 23 years ago to give this message today. I've been saying that for 20 years, and I've never been struck with lightning and hellfire and brimstone have never come down on my head, although I have lost some hair. But I know I'm the Jew that God called here, because I didn't know this place existed. And God called me here 24 years ago, and he called me here, and I didn't even know what place this was. So, you know, some of you can relate to that. Some of you didn't know where this place was 24 years ago. Amen. Who can relate to that? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. I didn't even know Bristol, Tennessee. Now, what's that? People still say to me, what's Bristol, Tennessee? Oh, I say I'm from Tennessee. They say, are you from Nashville? No. Bristol, Tennessee is in northeast Tennessee, and it's on the Virginia border. It's very close to Kentucky. It's very close to North Carolina. We're about 40 minutes from the North Carolina border where we live. We're right on the Virginia border. We're not far from South Carolina, so come and visit us, because nothing could be finer than to be near South Carolina on Saturday morning. Amen?
They got NASCAR here.
Oh, they got NASCAR here, and the birthplace of country music, but better than that, we have Ari Yehuda Messianic Congregation and For Zion's Sake Ministries. Praise the Lord. All right, so let's move on here. So God says, and I'm correcting myself and saying, maybe I'm wrong in saying, if I always thought, well, maybe it's when the Messiah comes. But then I looked back and they hit me at Pentecost. There were Jews and non-Jews celebrating together, and they've always been doing it. There's always been Jews and non-Jews worshiping together. When they built Solomon's temple, if you read that, there were Jews and non-Jews. When they came out of Egypt, a multitude, it says, Exodus 12:38, a mixed multitude of Gentiles came out with them, with the Israelites, and all the way back in Exodus to celebrate the Sabbath. Now, some people say, well, the Sabbath is, we don't have to celebrate the Sabbath. Well, Sabbath is not a law of Moses. The Sabbath was from the creation. God said on the Sabbath day, it says God rested and God had finished his work on the seventh, on the sixth day. And on the seventh day, God rested and was refreshed. Amen. God completed his work on the sixth day of creation. And on the seventh day, God rested and was refreshed. And so I invite you, Sabbath transgresses. In the book of Hebrews, it says, therefore, there remains a Sabbath. I think it's in Hebrews chapter 4. I'm not sure. It might be Hebrews chapter 8, but it's in there. Look it up. Therefore, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. There remains a Sabbath rest. Well, I would rather stand before God and say, God, I took that to mean that the Sabbath is still pertinent to all people. There remains a Sabbath rest. And that most people, preachers, read that as that the millennial reign will be a Sabbath rest for the people of God. But that's not what it says. It says, therefore, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. In other words, the Sabbath is still valid. It still exists. Okay? Times of the Jews, times of the Gentiles, doesn't matter. Sabbath is Sabbath. And the Sabbath still exists. The book of Hebrews says so. And I would rather stand before God on the judgment day and say, Lord, I took your word for what it says. Keep the Sabbath. You said, keep the Sabbath, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Amen? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. That's what your word says. I tried to do it the best I could, Lord. And let me tell you something. I'm Jewish. And I didn't keep Sabbath before I met Jesus. I didn't keep Sabbath. I became a Sabbath keeper. I did go to synagogue now and again. It's not like I was introduced to the synagogue on Sabbath or keeping Shabbat. But I really didn't honor the Sabbath like I do now. I didn't keep Shabbat, or celebrate Shabbat before I met Jesus. It took Jesus or Yeshua to get me to keep Sabbath every week. And I love it. When you do it and you do it, you know, you love it. You know, you just, I don't know. I can't explain it. It's become part of who I am. All right. Enough about that. So I think it may be a have to, not a get to. And if it is, I meant to bring my Ten Commandments sign with me that people put in their yards. You know those Ten Commandments signs? And I was going to circle the fourth commandment, the one that people don't keep. And they like to boast about the Ten Commandments and tell you what commandments you need to keep, but they don't keep the Sabbath, which is Friday night to Saturday. Okay? And if you don't believe me, again, look up Matthew 28:1. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the first day of the week, which is the day after the Sabbath is the seventh day, just read Matthew 28. New Testament tells you exactly when the Sabbath is. All right. So so we talked about the times of the Gentiles. We talked in the last message, and I suggest you go back and listen to it either online or on Facebook at our ministry Facebook page, my Facebook page. Go back and listen to my message a few weeks ago on the Gentiles and the Messianic movement, Messianic Judaism. We talked about the times of the Gentiles coming to an end, that Jesus said in Luke 21, that the times of the Gentiles will come to an end. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean that the church, if the times of the Gentiles ends, Luke 21, doesn't that mean that the church age will end? If the times of the Gentiles ends, who's going to run the churches if there's no Gentiles? If it's not the time of the Gentiles, who's going to run the churches? Doesn't that make sense? I believe that began in 1967 when Jerusalem, East Jerusalem and West Jerusalem, why do I believe that? Because Jesus said Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. That means that the church age is going to be fulfilled. There will come an end, and there will come the time of the Jews, which I think we're in. It's the time of the Jews again, because before there was the time of the Gentiles, it was the time of the Jews. So it kind of history bounces back like a ping pong ball between the times of the Jews and the times of the Gentiles. Times of the Jews, times of the Gentiles. So when the Jews, here's my theory. When the Jews are in the land, it's the time of the Jews. When the Jews are exiled from the land, it's the time of the Gentiles. So what happened to the Jews in 70? They were exiled from the land, right? They were exiled. It was the time of the Gentiles. What happened in 586 B.C.? The Jews were exiled from the land. Not all, but most of them were exiled from Israel. I believe that was the time of the Gentiles. And then it came back to the time of the Jews again a few hundred years later with the Maccabees. The time of the Jews came back. And the temple was rebuilt. Herod's temple read Ezra, Nehemiah. The Jews came back from exile and they rebuilt the temple. And that's a sign of the times of the Jews. And then in 70, the temple was destroyed again. And the Jews were exiled. And that began the time of the Gentiles. But now, where are the Jews? Back in Israel, mostly. I have more Jews. Actually, I think there's more Jews in Israel today than there are in the world. If not, then it's about even. The number of Jews in the world versus how many are in Israel. The point is, the times they are changing. The famous Messianic Jew named Bobby Zimmerman. Does anybody know Bobby Zimmerman? My sister told me last night she was sitting next to him at Harvard. He did a concert with his friend Joan Baez. You might know him better as Bob Dylan. And she was sitting in between on the grass. Somebody else was singing. And Bobby Zimmerman, or Bob Dylan, and my sister was sitting next to Bob Dylan, and Joan Baez was on her other side. And that was back in 1963 or 64 at Harvard. And she told me that story last night. I never knew that my sister had met Bob Dylan and Joan Baez. That's pretty cool. Praise the Lord. All right. But I know Yeshua. That's even better. We talked about Galatians 3:29. We talked about being descendants of Abraham. If any man is in Christ, he's Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. But it doesn't say seed through who? Abraham had Isaac, he had Ishmael. Then he had sons. I think somebody said five children through Keturah, his next wife. After Sarah died, he remarried Keturah, and he had five more sons. So when it says, if any man is in Christ, he's an Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Well, is he an heir? God blessed Ishmael and said he would have many kings would come from his loins, and he would bless him, and many nations, 12 nations, would come from Ishmael. So does that mean that if you're in Christ, you're blessed through Ishmael? What it really means is that you're blessed not physically. You don't become a physical descendant of Ishmael or Isaac. When you're in Christ, in Messiah, you are spiritually a child of Abraham. Amen. If you're not of Jewish lineage, then you would, you're a spiritual descendant of Abraham. And I would rather be a spiritual descendant than a physical, because to be spiritually I'd rather be in Messiah and be a spiritual offspring of Abraham by faith. Abraham was the father of faith. So what is Yeshua saying? He's saying that because by faith, because Abraham was the greatest, the father of faith, that if you're in Messiah, you can operate by faith. And you're a seed of Abraham, not physically, but spiritual. You're a spiritual seed of Abraham, operating in faith, not by sight, not by works. Amen? Whether you're Jew or non-Jew. And that's better than being physically blood Jewish. I would rather be in Christ than to be Jewish. All right? Now, Paul says, what benefit is there in being a Jew? Much in every way. Much in every way. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Ephesians 2, all the spiritual blessings afforded to a non-Jew and Messiah. We talked about that. I'm not going to go through it. What I didn't talk about, some of you know this, but some of you don't know, turn to Numbers 15. We're talking about Gentiles and the Messianic movement. One time I met with a pastor, a fairly well-known guy. I won't name him, but he was in town this for a while, many years. Then he left. I went down to Georgia. I think Charlie Daniels wrote a song, "The Devil Went Down to Georgia." So did this pastor. Numbers 15:14. If an alien, and this pastor said to me, he didn't think Gentiles should be in a Messianic synagogue. He didn't think Christians or non-Jews or anybody, you know, Messianic synagogue should be for Jews. A lot of Messianic rabbis think that too. I disagree. I think Messianic synagogues were created for Jew and non-Jew alike. I think they're created for us to come together. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Beatles wrote that, and they weren't even Jewish. But you know what? The guy that wrote that song, his manager was Jewish, and he looked up to him. So maybe that's where he got that song, "Come Together." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read here in Numbers 15. This is a very important verse, starting in verse 14. If an alien, everybody say, if an alien sojourns with you, you don't have to say it, keep going, I'll just read on, or one who may be among you throughout your generations, and he wishes to make an offering by fire as a soothing aroma to the Lord, just as you do, so he shall do. As for the assembly, there shall be one statute for you and the alien who sojourns with you, dwells with you, a perpetual statute throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the alien be before the Lord. There is to be one law, one Torah, and one ordinance for you and for the alien who sojourns with you. Praise the Lord. So what God is saying here, let's read this again. Now, this is a very important verse. Please pay attention. Numbers 15, verse 14. If an alien sojourns with you, with the Jewish people, particularly the Messianic Jews, or one who may be among you throughout your generations, a Gentile, and he who dwells with you, with the Messianic Jews, and he wishes to make an offering by fire as a soothing aroma to the Lord, just as you do, so he shall do. As for the assembly, there shall be one statute for you and for the alien who dwells with you, a perpetual statute throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the alien be before the Lord. There is to be one Torah, one law, and one ordinance for you and for the alien who dwells with you, who sojourns with you. So God's saying, how do you convert to Messianic Judaism? How did all those proselytes and Arabs who were at Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, how did they convert to Judaism? They convert by dwelling with the Jews, by dwelling with us, and they're treated as natural-born citizens, and there's one Torah, same law, for the alien, the foreigner, the Gentile, who dwells with us, who sojourns with us. There's one law for them. If you don't believe me, well, Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, is an example of it, but let me give you a couple other verses. Isaiah 14, Isaiah 14:1. But that Numbers 14:15 verse is very important because it's still valid today. Isaiah 14:1. When the Lord will have compassion on Jacob, that's a Jewish people, and again choose Israel and settle them in their own land. Remember I said the times of the Jews are when the Jews are in the land. The times of the Gentiles are when the Gentiles are out of the land. So now the Jews are back in the land. We're seeing the time of the Jews again. Then strangers, Gentiles, in other words, will join those Jews, will join them and attach themselves to the house of Jacob. That's you. Say, that's me.
That's me.
Foreigners, strangers, Gentiles will... how do I know it's talking about you? Because hold your place in Isaiah 14 and go to Ephesians 2. Because you're strange? Well, that might be. It could be what he meant. Depends what color your hair is today, that day. All right, Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, everybody say no hope, without God in the world, but now in Messiah Yeshua, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, the strife, the bitterness, the hatred between Jew and Gentile, which comes from the Torah of commandments contained in ordinances, so that he didn't do away with the Torah, he did away with the enmity, with the hatred between Jew and non-Jew, so that by himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the hatred, the bitterness, the enmity. Problem is, just like with Dr. Martin Luther King, he did a wonderful work for his people, but men came afterward, wolves came in, and they took the same thing what they did with Nelson Mandela, who did a wonderful work with his people of bringing harmony and unity with black and white while he was the president of South Africa. He you know what Nelson Mandela did? He said to the people in the white government, if you are willing to work with me and support me, you can stay in my government. These people tortured him. These people put him in prison for 25 years. He was not a nice guy when he was young. He committed bombings and crime, you know. He was a terrorist. But when he did his time, instead of coming out as a terrorist, as an angry man, he came out and forgave his captors and said, if you'll support my government, you can stay. And blacks in South Africa did not support rugby. It was a white man's sport. But he went to the rugby championship. He started going to the rugby games. At first, they didn't like it. And some people started waving the African national flag, the black flag. It's not a black flag, but it wasn't the flag of South Africa. And there was tension. He started going to the rugby games. But then South Africa went to the world championship. And Mandela won. They won. And he was wearing the hat of the white people, the rugby hat of the white people. And they cheered. He won their hearts. Now, Mandela won the hearts of the white people. And he won the hearts of the black people. And for a time, everybody say for a time, there was unity in South Africa. And you know, in the early days of the Messianic world, of when Paul was preaching in the book of Acts, there was unity between Jew and non-Jew. In the early churches, there was unity. And Paul, he had these Jewish rabbis going out and starting congregations. But then wolves came in, and after Mandela, the same thing happened. When Mandela left, guys who hated white people came in, and they started persecuting the whites, and they kicked them out of the government, and they persecuted them, and they killed farmers, tortured them, I mean, burned them, raped their women, did horrible things, killed children. In South Africa, you can look that up, what they did to the white farmers in South Africa, and many white people have fled South Africa. And the current president wants retribution against all white people in South Africa. I wouldn't stay, you know. So he's undone the work of Mandela.
Yeah.
And the Black Lives Matter people in Antifa, they've undone the work of Dr. King. When Dr. King did away with a lot of racism. No more. When Dr. King was alive, there were separate drinking fountains, separate bathrooms for black people, separate balconies for black people in theaters, separate schools. And after him, there was desegregation, and no more separate water fountains. Restaurants, you couldn't kick a black person out of a restaurant. No more going to the back of the bus. Dr. King brought unity and ended not all racism. Nobody can end racism but Jesus, Yeshua. Nobody can end racism but Yeshua. Only the Messiah can take hatred out of the hearts of men.
Yes.
And there's always going to be haters. But that doesn't mean the haters rule. And racism has risen because these Black Lives Matter people and the Antifa have stirred up this false racism that doesn't exist. White people don't hate, for the most part, don't hate black people. Black people have achieved, and Hispanics, they want to turn them against the white, they want to turn them against Republicans is what they're doing. They're trying to make the Republicans out to be racists. It's just not true. It's a lie. It's a lie. Well, this is exactly what happened to the message of Yeshua and of Paul. For a time, there was unity between Jew and non-Jew. But then people came in who hated Jews. Dave, give me some names of some of those guys.
Ignatius.
Origen. Justin Martyr. Eusebius. Chrysostom. St. Augustine. These guys came in and they turned Christians against the Jews, and they were anti-Semitic leaders in the Catholic Church, bishops, and they kicked Constantine, they kicked the Jews out of the church. They kicked the Jews out in 325 at the Council of Nicaea. And there has been that wall of partition that Yeshua took down. He took the wall down. Everybody say Yeshua took the wall down. But these Jew haters in the early church, not your father, not your mother, not your pastor. This happened 1,700 years, 1,800 years ago. But these guys rebuilt the wall between us. And God intended for us to be together all along. He intended for us to be together. But they rebuilt the wall to separate us. So now, in their mind, we have Christ. Heck with the Jews. We don't need the Jews. We got Christ. Amen? So, but that's not what God's plan was. And God's plan was for the Gentiles not only to have Messiah, but to be one, to be together with the Jews, like at Pentecost. Amen? To be worshiping together, like we read in Isaiah 66:23, all flesh shall come to worship before me from Sabbath to Sabbath and new moon to new moon. In other words, on the biblical holidays and on all the biblical Sabbaths, Jew and Gentile, all flesh shall come to worship together, the Lord says. Look at John 10. John 10, verse 14. John 10, 14. I am the good shepherd. I say that to myself all the time. I am the good shepherd. I am a good shepherd. No, I don't, I'm just kidding. I don't really say that. Yeshua is the good shepherd. I am a good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, he said, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep. Everybody say, he has other sheep.
He has other sheep.
That's me. Say, that's me. Which are not of this fold. He's talking to a bunch of Jews in Jerusalem, and he's telling them, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has to take it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. Who killed Yeshua? He did. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. If you want to know who really killed him, he killed himself. He says so. I lay down my life willingly, and I take it up again. I come back. Yeah, men... In the scheme of things, men were involved, but it would have happened anyway. You know, he was going to die for the sins of the world. It's our sins killed him. Doesn't matter if you're Jewish or non-Jewish, all of our sins killed him. He died because of our sins. Our sins hurt him. My sins hurt him. I became aware of that when I was seeking God. When I was confessing my sins for the very first time in 1996, winter, just after New Year's, around Valentine's Day, I was confessing my sins. I had started reading the New Testament, and I had gone to church, and I became convicted of my sin. I came home on a Sunday. The first day I went to a church, and I started confessing my sins to God, and this overwhelming sense that I had hurt him, Yeshua, Jesus, that my sins hurt him, that my sins pained him, that he was wounded. It's like if you were to cuss at your wife and tell her she's an idiot and that she's short and fat or whatever, you know, that she's ugly, or, you know, if you were to say things to hurt your wife, that you hurt her. That's the way I felt. I'm not saying I do that, but I'm saying that's the way I felt towards my Savior, that my sin was hurting him. You don't want to hurt somebody you love, right? Nobody wants to hurt someone they love. Nobody's happy about hurting someone they love. You know, sometimes we do hurt someone we love. That's life. We're human beings. But it doesn't make you feel good, does it? Later on, you feel pretty creepy, right? You want to go back and then you apologize. I'm sorry I said what I said or did what I did, whatever. So Yeshua, I became aware as I confessed my sins that my sins really, he was hurt. And I was like, you care about me? You care what I do? Things that I've done, my sins have hurt, made you. He said, yeah, Joe, my stripes, the blood, my death, the punches I endured, the crown of thorns, the blood, the hunger, the thirst that I went through, the suffering, it was all because of your sins. I went through that. You hurt me. And I felt so bad that I had hurt my Savior. He wasn't even my Savior yet, but he was about to be. And the realization that I hurt him, that my sin hurts him, your sin hurts him. It's like sticking a needle in him, sticking a knife in him. Every time we sin, it's like cutting him. You want to cut Jesus? You want to cut Yeshua? You want to shoot him, stab him, punch him, hit him over the head with a baseball bat? Sin. That's what does it. So anyway, it says here, he's talking to a bunch of Jews in John 10. He says, I have sheep from another fold that you know not of. Gentiles. He says, I have sheep from another fold. Verse 16, that are not of this fold, I must bring them also. They will hear my voice, and they will come, become one flock with one shepherd, with you. He's talking to the Jews. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. His whole purpose was to bring us together. And I believe Messianic Judaism is the place to bring us together, because he says in Isaiah 66:23 that we're going to keep the Sabbath together and the feast together, and that ain't going to happen in a church. You need a Jew. Everybody say, you need a Jew. To teach the feasts. When you go to these feasts, what do you see? Who's the guy that's usually leading it? A Jew, right? Usually. And if you go to one that isn't led by a Jew, are they as good? Not usually. Because these guys didn't... I would never get up and teach Christmas to a bunch of Christians. You know why? Because I never celebrated Christmas. And not that I would get up and teach Christmas to a bunch of Christians, but I don't know anything about it. I don't know. They know more about it than I do. Well, about the celebration of it. Maybe that's a bad parallel. But I wouldn't teach Easter to Christians, and I wouldn't teach Christmas to Christians. You know, I might teach the resurrection. I might teach about, I have something to say about the birth of the Messiah. It isn't called Christmas, but I would teach that to Christians. But you see my point? And let me hammer this home. Turn to Isaiah 56. So men change the message of Martin Luther King. Men, everybody say, men change the message of Martin Luther King. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Men change the message of Nelson Mandela. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Men change the message of Yeshua the Messiah. They changed the message and created a hatred of Jews in the church. Martin Luther, the father of Protestantism, hated Jews.
Yeah.
Hitler used the teachings of Martin Luther King. Do you know what Martin Luther said about the Jews at the end of his life? He said, burn their books, burn their synagogues, kick them out of your villages, your towns, destroy them. And that's exactly what Hitler did. Hitler read Martin Luther's teachings on the Jews, and he did it. That's what you read about it. Martin Luther and the Jews. Read about the things Martin Luther said on your own time. He twisted the teachings of Yeshua. Look at Isaiah 56, verse 1. Thus says the Lord, preserve justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. How blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who takes hold of it, who keeps from profaning the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Let not the foreigner or the alien who has joined himself to the Lord, believed in the Lord, say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Wow! Let not the Gentile believer... This is Isaiah. Let not the Gentile who's joined himself to Jesus Christ say, the Lord will surely separate me from the Jewish people. Why? Aha, let's read on. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, to them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. what in families, and you have parents, mother and father, then you have children, sons and daughters, and then you have grandchildren. So what is a better name than son or children or daughter? If parents first, children second, grandchildren third. So what's a better name than son? Bride? Wife? Is that a better name? Who's more important to a husband, his wife or his children? His wife, right? In most marriages. In a normal marriage, a husband's wife is more important than the children. And he defends the wife, he should. If the children act up against the wife, against their mother, then the husband should defend the wife from the children. That's the way I always did it with Dawn for decades. If they ever mouthed off, my sons, if they ever mouthed off to my wife, I don't care what they said. It didn't matter what the issue was. I always said, you raise your voice to your mother, you're messing with me. They knew what that meant. And they backed off. And they still back off. Even though my sons can lift 900, or one can lift 900 pounds, the other can lift 1,000 pounds. They're strong boys. My son Joshua was the strongest kid in 11th grade in the whole school, whole high school. But they still fear me. Thank God. Let's read on here. Why does the foreigner say, let not the Lord separate me from his people? Well, verse 3, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I'm a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. To them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. Bride! What's a better name? Bride. How do you get to be a bride? Keep the Sabbaths. Hold your place and turn to Matthew 28. Because we're going to go back to Isaiah. Turn to Matthew 28. The Great Commission. If you're here, you're so far ahead of those who aren't. Matthew 28, the commission. And Yeshua came up, verse 18, and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. There, go therefore and make disciples, students, of all the nations, all the Gentiles, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Did he teach them to observe Passover? These were unlearned men. I don't know that they celebrated Passover. Do you know that? They were ignorant fishermen from Galilee. I don't know that they actually celebrated Passover. They might have, but they might. Not every Jew did. They have secular Jews in Israel today that don't celebrate holidays and feasts. These guys were unlearned. It says in Acts 22, aren't these men unlearned? It even says of Jesus when he went to his synagogue, his own synagogue, in Luke 4, and he gets up to speak, and he speaks so like a rabbi, and the people said, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't he unlearned? That's what it says. Right there in Luke 4. Take a look. Sorry. Okay, so Matthew 28, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Shabbat, it was his custom. Luke 4 says, as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath. What do you think he took his disciples on the Sabbath? To the bouncy place? Do you think he took them to Chuck E. Cheese? No, he took them to the synagogue. He made them. He taught them. Right? Let's read on. What else did he do? Did he take them up to Jerusalem for Passover? Can I get an amen? Did he take them up for Sukkot?
Yep.
Did he take them up for Shavuot, for Pentecost? They were there. Yeah. That's what he taught them. He taught them to do the Jewish thing. He taught them to do the feasts, to observe all that I could. And he taught them to love their neighbor. And he taught them to forgive. And he taught them to go to your brother if your brother has sinned against you. He taught them all that stuff too. And to love one another, amen? And to love your wives, husbands, love your wives, as Messiah loved the congregation, amen? But he also taught them to keep the feasts and the Sabbaths. And that's what got twisted in history. Just like Mandela's teachings were twisted, just like Martin Luther King's teachings have been twisted, and just like, who's the third person? Oh, Yeshua's teachings have been twisted. He taught Jews to go out and teach Gentiles what I teach you. I teach you how to keep the feasts, but I also teach, what was my message last week? What's that? I can't hear you. To defend or not to defend. So last week's message was whether to defend or not to defend. Should you defend yourself? Should you go, when you go to court, or when somebody, we all have issues where people hurt us, or plumbers, electricians, business people take our money and then they don't do the job they said they were going to do. Should we defend ourselves? Should we not defend ourselves? That's what I taught last week. That was my message. When is it appropriate for us to defend? When shouldn't we defend ourselves? That was my message. I teach messages on life. I've taught messages on, prospering in a time of famine, how to prosper in a time of famine. I've taught messages on the Holy Spirit. We've had prayer lines. I taught messages at Pentecost, at Shavuot, earlier in the summer. Several weeks we taught on the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And people got touched. Amen. Yes. So, I don't just teach on the feasts. I teach on all topics. But I do teach on the Sabbaths and the feasts as well. All right, let's move on. So we're in Matthew 28. The Great Commission was teaching the Gentiles to celebrate Passover, Shabbat, Sukkot, Shavuot, Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. The Gentiles were there, the Jews were there. Come together right now under God. Hallelujah. I know that's not what John Lennon meant by the song, but it works. It fits. Amen? Amen. All right. So let's go back to Isaiah 56. So what is God going to call you? To the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister him, verse 6, and love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from profaning the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even those, wait a second, to the Gentile who keeps my Sabbaths. Where could a Gentile keep the Sabbath in those days, in 700 years before the Messiah, in a synagogue with the Jews? Where, if a Gentile or non-Jew wants to keep the Sabbath today, where's the best place to keep the Sabbath? With a Jew, with the Jews, right? That's what he's saying. Let not the Lord what does it say? Let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord, Isaiah 56:3, say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. Why does he say that? Because if he separates me from his people, I won't be able to keep Shabbat. Why is that? Why can't you keep Shabbat without the Jews? Anybody? Because God said in Leviticus 23, he said, you are to have a solemn assembly. He doesn't say sleep late on the Sabbath. He doesn't say stay in bed till noon and make French toast. I wish he did sometimes. You know, that would be pretty good. Stay in bed till noon and make French toast. Tell your wife to make French toast. You know, and then relax in your robe till 3 o'clock. He doesn't say that. He says, gather together in a solemn assembly, just like Pentecost. Think Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. They gathered together in a solemn assembly at the temple, right? A Mikre Kodesh. And they celebrated the feast. But if they had no temple, could they celebrate it? No. If they have no synagogue in a town, where are they going to gather together? The whole point of Shabbat is coming together. Come together right now for Shabbat. That's what he wants us to do. Come together. He doesn't say stay home. He says have a solemn assembly. I've said it. Leviticus 23. I've taught it 1,000 times. Come together to the house of the Lord, to the synagogue, where this is a Torah scroll. In the time of Yeshua, today they cost about $50,000 to $80,000, I guess. Where can you get one of these? This is the Bible in the time of Jesus. It cost us $3,000. It's very old. We couldn't afford a new one. So if you're thinking to come steal it, it'll probably fall apart if it do. So you'll get arrested, and it's not worth it. So don't think about coming to steal this, and you're going to get $50,000, anybody that's watching. It's an old Torah scroll, and it'll probably fall apart before you get it out the door. The point is, this is what the Bible looked like in the time of Jesus, and it weighs about 30 pounds. It weighs about 30 pounds, and poor people didn't have them. Working people didn't have them. Only rich people had them. Torah teachers like Paul, you know, men who were studied, learned men had them. And synagogues had them. If you wanted to hear this book, which is the Bible of Jesus' day, the Bible that Jesus quoted to Satan in the wilderness, this is the Bible that he quoted. Deuteronomy. Hey, you know, this is the Bible. It wasn't in a book. It wasn't very portable. So if you wanted to hear it read, you had to go to the synagogue to do it. And so I'm reading it in book form, but if you wanted to keep Shabbat, you had to go to the synagogue. Amen? All right. Let's read on here in verse 7. Even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be acceptable on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all Gentiles, all the peoples. The Lord God who gathers the dispersed of Israel declares, yet others I will gather to them, to those already gathered. Isn't that what John said? In other words, I have sheep from another fold that you know not of, and I must bring them too, and together they will be one flock. God's saying the same thing right here. The Lord who gathers the dispersed of Israel declares, yet others I will gather to them, to those already gathered. That's me. That's me. Yet others. Isaiah is saying the same thing John was saying. So God's going to give you, he's going to make a house of prayer, his temple, for all nations. He's going to give you a name better than sons and daughters, bride, if you keep his Shabbats. That's the key. If you keep his Shabbats, Not my words, his words. Not my words, his words. Now, I've taught on the bride, and this isn't meant to be a teaching on the bride, but he does say, and there's a lot to, I have a lot to say about the bride, but I'm not going to teach it today. But I will say this. He says, God says in Isaiah 56, that he's going to give a name better than sons, which I believe is bride, to those Gentiles who join with him and his people and keep Shabbat. And he's going to call his house, he's going to bring them to his holy mountain, he says. He's going to bring you to Israel. He's going to bring you, not only that, he's going to bring you to his holy mountain, and he's going to make his house a house of prayer for all Gentiles, for all nations. And how many people from the nations are going to keep his Sabbaths? All. Turn to Zechariah 14, please. Zechariah 14. We're almost done. Zechariah 14, 16. This is when the Messiah has already come. He's defeated his enemies. If you haven't read this before, I suggest you read Zechariah 12 through 14. On your own, this is the return of the Lord. The Lord has come back. Zechariah 14, 16 says, "Then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Booths." That's Sukkot. "And it will be that whichever of the families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain on them. If the family of Egypt does not go up or enter, then no rain will fall on them." Why isn't it raining out west? Maybe they're not keeping Shabbat. Why did God tell Elijah to stop the rain? Who'll stop the rain? Elijah. Why did Elijah stop the rain for 3 years? Maybe because Ahab and Jezebel weren't keeping Shabbat. This is the punishment. Or maybe they weren't keeping Sukkot. This is the punishment, verse 19, of Egypt, and the punishment of all the nations who do not go up to celebrate the Feast of Booths. What is the punishment? There will be no rain. So our Lord says all flesh will keep his feasts, his Sabbaths. And I've been saying it's a you get to. But maybe I'm wrong, and it's a you should and you have to. But our Savior, Yeshua, look, a man sees a beautiful woman. A married man sees a beautiful woman, right? And he has a choice, and maybe she smiles at him, and maybe he starts talking with her, and maybe he propositions her, and he says, "Maybe would you like to go for coffee?" And maybe she says, "Yeah." And maybe they go for coffee, and maybe it moves from one thing to another, and he's a believer. And let me give you a situation. I had a law school professor of mine from the law school I went to call me up, not knowing I went to his law school. He actually wasn't my professor. His name was Richard Gould. He was a professor at the law school that I attended. And he called me up when I was a rabbi years later after law school. Somebody gave me my number. And he connected with a worship leader in a Baptist church, a woman, online. She was married and he was married. He had found Jesus through her. But he wanted to have an affair with her. He's telling me this. I knew who he was. I didn't tell him I went to the law school where he teaches at the time, 20 years ago. But I told him, I said, "Richard, I said, you can't follow the Lord and have an affair with this woman," which he went on to have an affair with her. She was the worship leader in a Baptist church. He was the law school professor who just found Jesus, but he was more interested in the woman than Jesus. You see my point? You can't. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You can't do that. It. You know. So why am I saying this? I don't know why I said this, but I forget what I was talking about. But that happens to me. I'm getting old. Does anybody know why I said this? What's Jacob 2:10?
It says if you break one commandment, you're guilty of breaking all.
If you break one commandment, you're guilty of.
Commit adultery, but you commit murder, therefore you're guilty of adultery.
Right.
Amen.
If you break one commandment, you're guilty of breaking all commandments. That's beautiful, Dave. That's a great word. So, basically, God intended to bring us together, Jew and Gentile. It's going to happen. The whole world, Ted Pierce sang it, and all the world will see Yeshua. And all the world will see Yeshua. And all the world will celebrate his Sabbaths. And all the world will celebrate his feasts. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to teach many of them. Because I can't teach them all. And there's not enough Messianic. There's not enough of me. There's about 500 Messianic rabbis in the world, maybe 700. There's not enough of us in the world to teach all the people how to do it. So guess what? You're going to teach a bunch of them how to do it. They're going to be like, I don't know how to do this. What do I do? And you're going to teach them. But which brings me to my third point. Why was I talking about the man cheating on his wife? I was talking about that because sin is a choice. Sin is a choice. It's not. You can do it. You can skip Shabbat. You can skip. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I've been in the hospital. If you're in the hospital on Shabbat, God understands. If your donkey's in a ditch and you're pulling your donkey out of a ditch on Shabbat, God understands. There's if you take a vacation, but if you attend Shabbat 50 weeks a year and you take 2 weeks off on vacation and don't go to Shabbat, God understands. God has grace for you. But if you consistently keep Shabbat, you know in your heart whether you're keeping it. Amen? But sin is a choice. So those people out there who know about Shabbat, who know about the feasts, who know about the Great Commission, and choose not to do it. Choose. They hear me preach. They've heard me teach year after year, month after month, decade after decade, and still they don't come. Still they don't do Shabbat, or they don't do it right. Because there's only one right way to do it, and that's to come to the synagogue. And it's better to do it in a Messianic synagogue than a non-believing synagogue, if you're a believer. I've seen many Christians go to the synagogue walk away from Jesus because they go to the synagogue without Jesus. I don't recommend that. They'll turn you away from Jesus. You'll lose your faith. Don't go there. But they don't come here either. And you watching, God bless you, but you should be here. If you believe this stuff, it's not my words. You go back and listen to this message. Sin is a choice. And not doing what the Lord says. The Lord says in the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to do what I commanded you. Well, this is what he commanded me. He commanded me to keep Shabbat. He commanded me to do Passover. He commanded me to do Sukkot. And he commanded me to go to the Gentiles. He commanded me to do Pentecost. And I can do the healing stuff like the best of them. I've seen four people get out of wheelchairs. I've seen two or three people who are mute speak after laying hands on them. I've seen the eyes of the blind open. I've seen the deaf ears unstopped. I've seen the lame walk. I've seen people with who needed knee surgery laid hand. I've laid hands on a girl, two girls in comas get saved. One of them passed on, but she went to be with the Lord. I saw tears coming down her face as I was sharing the gospel with her in her coma. I could see the tears coming down her face, and her mother had a vision of her in heaven with walking to the water, to the river with Jesus, wearing white robes at the funeral. After the funeral, her mother wouldn't get out of the car. She wanted until the Lord showed her that she was saved. Little Brooke, who was 15 years old and died in a car accident because her boyfriend was driving 130 miles an hour, flipped the car. He died instantly. She was in a coma. I went to the hospital while she was on life support, and I said, whispered in her ear, and I said, Brooke, I said, call on the name of the Lord, Brooke. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is the Lord. Call on the name, call on Jesus. Jesus will save you. Tears started coming down her face. Because you know what the last thing to go when you're dying or when you're in a coma? You know what the last organ to go? Your hearing. Your hearing. Tears started coming down her face. You know what her mother's vision was after the funeral? Her mother wouldn't get out of the car, and she was until God showed her where her Brooke was. She had a vision in the car. This is the girl's mother. After the funeral, she had a vision. She saw a man coming down a hill, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place, coming down to a riverbank, and the mother was on the other side of the river watching, and she was holding Brooke's hand. The man was holding Brooke's hand. It was Jesus, and they were wearing white robes. They smiled, and they waved at her, and then they turned around and walked away. Brooke and the mother felt peace. Brooke was with Jesus. I believe that God used me to lead Brooke to the Lord. Another little girl, Megan, you may remember her. She got hit by a truck, a big pickup truck, hit her going 60 miles an hour on a back street behind State Street on the Virginia side, going 50, 60 miles an hour, knocked her 60 feet through the air. She went into a coma. She hit her head. They didn't think she was going to live. I went to the hospital, anointed her with oil, said, Megan, call on the name of Jesus. Jesus will save you. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. She was in a coma. Call on Jesus. Do you know what? We anointed her. Do you know what she did? She sat up. She opened her eyes, and she sat up. You know where she is most recently? She was working at a restaurant at Exit 7 as a waitress. She's been living a normal life for the last 14, 15 years since that accident. She's been healed. God healed her. I've seen miraculous. Remember Wendell's back? Anybody remember Wendell's back when the cement mixer, 1,200-pound chute of the cement mixer, came loose and whacked him in the groin and dragged him across the foundation, landed on his chest? He threw the 1,200-pound cement chute off of his chest. He came here. He couldn't even bend. He was a mess. His back was such a mess. We anointed him. God healed him, and he touched his toes. Wendell, he couldn't bend. He was in agony. God healed him instantly here, right there, and he bent over and touched his toes. Do you remember that? Were you there that day? Carol, were you there that day?
Yes.
Say it loud. Yes, was anybody else there the day Wendell got healed? Well, I was and Carol was. There's two witnesses. Praise the Lord. If you'd been here, you'd have seen Wendell get a major healing that day. Praise the Lord. So anyway, God's done incredible things. But so just because we're Jewish doesn't mean we don't operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you know. People think we don't. I was telling you about this pastor who believed that Gentiles shouldn't go to Messianic congregations. I told him Gentiles shouldn't go to churches. I didn't say that. But it would have been a good comeback, though, wouldn't it? I think God's trying to tell us Gentiles belong in Messianic synagogues. I think God's word is saying that. And you listen to this message. You don't believe me, don't believe me. I always tell people, don't take my word for it. Take the word of God. Yes. Take what God says. I'm just preaching his word. All right. I think I've said enough for today. Let's all stand up, and I'm going to bless you. There's a place for you in the Messianic community. And God says from Sabbath to Sabbath and new moon to new moon, all flesh is going to come and worship him. And that was going on at the first temple. That was going on in the tabernacle. That was going on in the second temple. And Acts chapter 2, Jew and Gentile together worshiping the Lord. Read 2 Chronicles chapter 5 through 7. Jew and Gentile worshiping. The glory fell in David, Solomon's temple. And Jesus told us to go and bring the Gentiles in and teach them the same stuff I'm teaching you. It's as simple as that. Very simple message. I hope you hear it. And don't just pray. If you don't believe me, ask God. Is Rabbi telling me straight? Praise the Lord. All right. I'm gonna give the blessing. But first we're gonna take an offering. Not the people here have already given their offering. But if you watch me and you get blessed by this teaching, we need your support. And I'm not messing around. I give my messages free, and I teach for free, and I work like any other man. The Bible says I have a right to earn a living from the gospel, but we're not getting enough support. And if we don't get enough support, I will go away. I will go away. This will go away. If you enjoy my teachings, if you enjoy this ministry, people won't support it, we won't be able to stay. So I'm being honest with you. We need your support. And I'm happy to give you the messages. If you can send in $15, $20, $50, if you're well healed and you have money, if you can give $100, $200, that would be great. Go to our website. But we need your support. So may God bless you. Please, you're welcome to watch my messages unrestricted, even if you don't give. But I'm asking you, please support this ministry. Thank you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah and Prince of Peace. Shabbat Shalom. And most of all, come, join us and celebrate Shabbat. Celebrate the feast with us. You don't have to quit your church. Let God tell you to do that. I won't tell you to quit your church. But come and join us, be with us, worship with us, follow God's word, pray about what I said, and we'll welcome you with open arms, and we'll never tell you to leave your church. Only God. Have I ever told any of you, forced any of you to leave your church? No. I will never tell you, leave your church or don't come here. I never say that. God bless you. Shabbat Shalom. We love you. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Have a hot dog. Eric, can you turn these Facebooks off? Who'll stop the rain?
Find their way at the sound. sound.